Cliffcentral.com.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, that's what's up. It's your man, G-Man, the Ad Man. And it's another beautiful Wednesday with your boy. It's been another amazing week of advertising. And here we are once again, about to make some amazing advertising conversation right now. And all we need to do right now, all you need to know, is that today's finna get lit. You know when you guys say lit, you know, you don't understand. Today's about to get super lit. And you'll understand what I mean by that when you discover who my guest is today. I was chatting to someone yesterday, and we were talking about this whole lit thing, and he said it's about to be a lituation. So I think we're about to have a young lituation out here. But it's been an amazing week once again, like I've been saying. Some advertising news that's been out there. Things are happening. I just read an article yesterday that the guys, the entire YNR group is going to be coming together under one. So Native VML, the YNR group, all those guys are going to be coming together under one to essentially become one offering. So that's exciting news happening out there. I think it can only serve to make us see what's gonna happen after that, because you know it almost feels like everybody else is going in the opposite direction. Agencies are becoming smaller. People are breaking out on their own. So to form a bigger agency, to form a bigger conglomerate, feels like a brand new thing. So we'll be looking at that one with some interested eyes and bated breath, so to speak. So it's going to be interesting as fuck. So I think I'm not gonna waste any more time once again, because you know the guest that I've got here today, there's so many facets to this dude. There's so many facets to this dude, and those of you who've worked with him will know exactly what I mean by that. And that they've been all types of. I've had shoots with them.
And we've
had
drama.
But it's amazing. You'll get to hear from him now. So I'll tell you. I'm just gonna tell you before I tell you what his name is. I'll tell you some of the stuff that's been said about him on the net here. It says that he has made his name reflecting South Africa in his commercials. Whether they're funny or moving, his distinctive ads all feel deeply rooted in this country. Since his launch as a commercials director in 2008, he's been in demand locally and internationally. Working with the likes of Coca-Cola and all the South African cellular networks, he's built a beautifully shot reel full of memorable performances, including from children and celebrities. And then they continue to say, this is all about the same guy. He started directing as a 16-year-old in Soweto. And over the next 20-odd years, he established himself as one of South Africa's most unique creative voices, directing award-winning short films and documentaries for international broadcasters, as well as holding a sold-out show of night photography. I don't know why I read that as night pornography. I don't know why. Not to mention being named Standard Bank Young Artist of the Year. He lives in Johannesburg, where he also runs an arts residency in Soweto. They call him on this website Malo 8. To most of us, he's also Tumsani Pagat. Dude,
hola.
What the hell, man? How you doing?
Easy one, now.
Yeah, enjoy, bro.
Feel it.
Friend, man, friend. I think, wow, man, good to have you in the studio, man.
You drop from Kruma now.
Yeah.
1-1.
Yeah. Hey, man, good friend, man. Yes, Tumsani. There's something. Wait, hold on. Something is not happening here. Something is not right here. Yeah, can you? Yeah,
you're flying us right.
I think I'm trying to fly this plane, but today it's refusing. Yeah. I think we fixed it. It's good.
Good.
So yeah, man, good to have you on the show, brother.
All our time, pleasure, yeah? Brother.
Hey, man, like I said, I mean this thing, it's this piece I just read now says a whole bunch of things about you. But I mean let's start with what you're up to right now. I mean, first of all, trying to get hold of you apparently was just a mission and a half. You know, huge shout out to my brand new production team in Chiesa Quinchete and Pumla Pagati, right? No, I don't know whether there's a relation between him and Tumsani, but
Spongo Fanana.
But huge shout out, because they try to get hold of you, man, and apparently you are Mercury out there. But what are you up to, man? How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. You know, hustling,
yeah,
as all Joburgers do.
Yeah,
and I've been doing that since I was 16, as you say.
Yeah,
I know nothing else but that.
But the hustle, eh?
Yeah, that's all I know, my brother.
As well.
And yeah, so everything that I'm up to is the same thing I was doing since I was 16. I'm just doing it on a different level.
Yes, that's crazy shit. So Mplele, what are the projects that you're working on right now? I mean, we just spoke off air now, and you're telling me that that you're going to be going overseas in a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. What's going on?
So, you know, I have been building a production company, I think, on and off for the last 15 years.
You've been building a production company for
on and off
years.
For 15 years. Sounds crazy, but in this country, it's possible, you know? So we are currently producing a drama series called Ngempela.
Okay.
It's on SABC 1 on Sundays at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
It's actually short stories. It's
oh, dope.
It's once off, self-contained short stories about crazy things about South Africa. So I'm going to shoot one of those episodes in Tokyo.
Get the hell out of here.
Yes.
What is that? How does that even happen? Like, crazy short stories about South Africa being shot all the way in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that even come about, man?
Look, I think for me, what inspired that particular angle,
yeah.
which is what I'm shooting now, is the idea that we don't see enough of ourselves
yeah.
outside of our context,
yeah,
outside
yeah.
of South Africa.
Yeah.
We always, all our narratives are us here,
yeah.
as if there's no possibility of us being anywhere else,
this is so
doing
true.
Something else.
Yeah. So, and all the stories are Soweto.
Yeah, Soweto and Kokaikai, Kodi Plasing. While the thing is, like, we live in a globalized community. We need to start seeing our narratives in other spaces.
Yeah,
so it's very
man.
That. It's inspired. So I do have connections in Japan, some guys that I work with. I'm part of a group called One Future.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a multinational group of individuals
yeah.
that are involved in arts, different art disciplines,
yeah.
purely for social progress.
Oh, that is so
we're trying to be the Benetton of today.
Hey, hey, what this man just said. Yeah, yeah, I do have connections in Tokyo. Hey, man. Yeah, man.
That's how much Japan, man.
Oh man, that is insane stuff. I mean, like I said, dude, it feels like there's absolutely nothing that you can't do. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your if you were to write it down? I'm gonna like if they say there was a form where you had to write down your skill set. You know, but these are the things that you know. If you put me in front of this thing, I'll be able to do it. Ningang koshang. You know. What are the things that you yeah? What can't you do, man? What are your skill sets? Let us know. Let us know.
I think reflecting.
Yeah.
This country. I think that's my skill set.
That is so dope.
Reflecting it and knowing it intimately.
Yeah.
And constantly researching it.
Yeah.
Like crazily researching it.
So that's what you do a lot.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of your time researching South Africa?
This motherfucker reads.
Oh snap! So check this out. Before we got on air, Dumsani came in and he gave me a book. He said it's a gift. It's the Bongani Matondo Sai, the Beloved Country book that he gave to me. And we're talking about it off air that it's amazing. Most of the guys that come through here and the ladies that come through here speak about reading and the importance of it, you know. And he makes an important point about the fact that, Yazi, you know, a lot of the time we all land in these situations where, you know, we're supposed to give our perspective on these things. But because we don't have, you know, a background, you know, how did you phrase it? Because we don't have the background,
because we don't have a lot of reference to a lot of issues.
Yeah,
not even issues, just our existence is one of the most interesting existences, Black South Africans.
Right,
and that's why I sometimes tell people that the closest people to us is Black Americans.
That's right,
and not because we say we're tandang in hip hop
or
but like.
It's not funny.
But just because you know, having gone through colonialism and segregation
yeah.
makes you a very specific kind of people.
That's right.
Then on top of that, having then had to hustle in the 40s and
even
the 40s, man. We were hustling
from jump.
No, Tina Skalem with you, I'm a South African. Good in with you, we are good. I'm a predator.
That's right.
In the 1800s, we are writing, my brother. In the 1800s, people are hustling money for Sol Plaatje to go around the country to
That's
see the
insane.
Effects of the Native Land Act and write an amazing big book.
That's insane, man.
So, you know, there's so much of the work we're doing today that could have deeper reference if we just knew that reference exists. So, guys, let's visit old secondhand bookshops.
Yeah, get in there, man.
Especially secondhand bookshops. Go there, check. You'll find a book for 30 rands, but you learn something you didn't even know existed before.
That's crazy.
You know,
that's
it's crazy. Incredible, the stuff. From, you know, I also collect artifacts.
Yeah.
Old Southern African artifacts.
So like what? So
wooden
stuff like what?
Spoons.
Yeah.
Pipes. But they're all in London.
I told you. I told you guys it was going to get like this. I told you. So
check this out.
Hey, can you cover that into your face? How you see what's on there? Is it a twa, twa, twa?
It's part of the effect, man.
That's what's up. Yeah. That's actually fucks your mind up, actually. Okay, check this out. So give me a call. If you have any questions for Dumisani, you know, we're gonna be getting into it. You know, we're gonna be talking about everything and anything. We're gonna be talking about, you know, advertising. We're gonna be talking about everything around it, his life, what he's been up to. So give me a call on 0861-555-189 or hit me up on Twitter at CliffCentral.com, on Facebook Cliff Central, on WeChat at Cliff Central. Or you can hit me up straight on Twitter at Blaxem. That's at BLAXEM. And check this man out. You know, let's have a conversation with this man. So Dumisani, I mean, I'm gonna go to the first frame of reference, which might actually segue us into you know, kind of where you're from, what you're about, what do you do. I mean, I remember watching this documentary on SABC One. Was a time when you know, DSTV was not so pervasive, you know, when everyone used to actually sit around one TV at the house and watch TV
and learn to share it too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, essentially we just literally used to watch what my pops wants to watch. You know what I mean? So you used to watch all that, and then after about 9 o'clock, so at 10 o'clock, there'd be a slot for a documentary on SABC One. I remember that part, and a documentary came on about this cat who realized that he has family everywhere. And like a whole bunch of siblings, right? And that turned out to be you. You know, you made a documentary about the fact that you essentially went looking for all your siblings, right? Emuna, how does one even find themselves in that? How does one find out that they have that many siblings and then go and make a documentary and put that out there for the world to see? Yeah. You know, you must have had an amazing, amazing upbringing. Yeah. You know, talk to us about that.
You know, and I think it's again connects to the idea that we should really love where we're from.
Yeah.
Meaning we are Middlelands. Just love your hood.
That's right. Like, that's right. You know, the fire stand.
Yeah, check it out. Learn. Know who was the biggest thug in the 70s. Write it down. Your immediate world should interest you if you're a creator of stories.
Yeah.
Just before you even use it to create a story.
Yeah.
As
not
spice.
Not necessarily a teller of stories, but a creator of stories, right? That's what you say.
Yeah. As a spice. Just know your place. It informs. That's because it's the only thing we have if you think about it.
Right.
Like, you know, when you've lost a lot of what kind of anchors you as a people,
it's bad.
Where you end up becomes a lot about who you are. So I've always been checking stuff out. So when I found out that, damn, I'm going to appear.
Yeah.
Besides we appear.
Yeah.
Get 72. I was like, my spice is more unique.
Me 72.
Yes. 52.
52.
11 wives. Married. Yeah? Not bunga si cheer.
So time married 11 women.
Yeah,
52 kids.
Yeah.
Look, advertising land, this is what I'm telling you guys about. You know, if you want to be a story creator, you must also know that there's also the ability to have 52 children.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we never stop teaching here on the G-Man, the Ad-Man show. You know, get out there and just, you know, populate, guys. Let's populate. The lures are coming up. Populate, guys.
But don't take our money while populating. You must fund it out of your own pocket.
There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. Carry on. You're telling me, you know, Uti, fire piri.
Yeah, so for me, when I did find out about it, that my father, look, when I grew up, we already knew that there was more than our family.
Yes,
you know,
because
my father did this crazy thing. He'd take us, he'll take me, like he did.
Yeah.
Number one, I'm like, let GP hostel. I live in GP for a year. Can you believe that?
In GP hostel.
Yeah, for a year.
That's
amazing. Like three. I'm living. He stole me from my mother just because my mother was like,
Awulobola
nini. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. You guys are telling me when I'm going to Awulobola.
Yeah.
This is my kid.
Yeah.
Ong chonch.
Wow.
So anyway, so what he used to do, he'd steal you and swap you.
What do you mean swap you? With another one.
Another wife. So take me, drop.
Put you in another family.
Yeah, and take the other one in another family. So when I grew up, I always had these other siblings. So
yeah.
I grew up knowing that there was other siblings.
Yes, yes, yes.
So and then in his, I didn't know the number, of course, until we passed away. And in the obituary, there, in black and white, written down that Jabu Mkhawuli Phakathi, his nickname was Mkhawuli.
Mkhawuli.
The handshaker.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
And had two children, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, damn, this is interesting. I love the idea of other versions of me that are so different being out there.
Yeah.
So
all 52 of them.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then I hustled money, got money from BBC and Arte to make the film, literally. That's
insane.
You know, that's how simple it was.
So
not simple, but that's how
that was the story.
Yeah, and it was an amazing journey in many ways. You know, meeting family, people that I hadn't seen That's something that I didn't know, because I probably knew about maybe about seven or eight of the other siblings.
And then there's meeting all these people. And they were they scattered all around South Africa?
Yeah. And mixed get food to get time around.
They mix that idea. Like I said, guys, the Lurus are coming up. Mix it up there. Populate advertising. No. Don't do that on my account. I'm just saying. Anyway, but I mean, you know, speaking of that, do you think then that, you know, I mean, making commercials and shooting documentaries and researching documentaries and all that are two slightly different schools of thought. Are they different? Do you think that, you know, researching, for example, making that Tennis Biscuit TV ad that I really, one of my favorites of all time, making an ad like that, is the level of research kind of on the same level as what it would take to make a documentary like the one that involves your life?
Look, first you bring yourself to the party.
Right.
I think that's the first thing. As I said, it's like you bring your experience,
right,
your history.
Yeah.
You're having grown up with the grandmother.
As well.
And you having seen people do that.
Yeah.
You having grown up watching Amakarati.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I'm a cowboy.
Yeah.
So you bring that. So you bring yourself first.
Yeah, exactly.
So that you're the central, whether you're making a documentary or a commercial, it first starts. And that's why for me, sometimes when I don't feel a bit of a filmmaker in his work.
Yes.
On his commercial work. Mm. I'm not saying it's a problem, because at the end of the day, every commercial needs to have its own identity.
Yeah.
But I almost feel in everyone there still should be a little bit of
yourself.
Of yourself. So that's, for me, the common denominator should be always you.
Because
then the research is technical, if you think about it. It's only responding to what the board says.
Yes.
Or responding to what the documentary is about. But
a piece of you should always be in
it. It's your voice, man. There's nothing. Like, you have a very specific voice.
That's right.
I
know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
I think that's the most important thing. And I think, you know, like if you read Bongani Matondo's book.
Yeah.
You know, what it's, beside the stories, is how he tells them.
That's right.
You know, and so for me, every filmmaker, every story's voice is the most important thing. And sometimes we don't actually recognize that.
Yeah.
Then we become all generic storytellers.
That's right. Or you try to mimic someone else's voice.
And you shouldn't.
Because you think that's what's trending, that's what's popular.
Yeah. If Kulwe Hillbro, like a Kalo Matabane, we come from Limpopo, you end up in Hillbro, it's 1992.
Yeah.
Like, that Limpopo mixed with Hillbro, when Hillbro was still in J. Saban beginning,
That's
your reality.
That's your story.
Or
you're
like
a
Vincent Muloi, Deep Soweto, Naledi, which is almost Cody Plasing Mara, not really. Sorry, Vincent.
I hope he is listening. Shout out, Vincent. What's going on, man?
So I'd say, to answer your question, I think the first thing is your voice. And also developing your voice is the most important thing. And knowing it. Understanding it.
I think that's something that, and I'm sure you can agree with, that when you encounter creatives as well, when you go and get boards or when you and meet them in social spaces as well, that I think that's what started to become missing, or what that is missing, in how we also like write ads from jump. You know, so from the very beginning, you're trying to write like, I mean, I love you, Jenny Glover, but you're starting to write like a Jenny Glover ad, because you're not bringing your Hillbro, you're not bringing your Naledi to the spot. Everyone kind of hears you speak through someone else's voice, and it actually doesn't land because of that very reason. So I think you're absolutely right. But speaking of adverts, so someone told me an amazing thing that I didn't even know. I didn't even know this was a thing, right? So someone told me, right, that you actually started in the land of adverts.
That before all you kids,
before all these kids even knew that one could be in advertising.
Yeah, I'm sure Ben Safun de Matua in lower primary school.
Exactly.
Or a Sagewood. I got so.
Like I told you guys. So apparently before all these things, there was a time when you were in advertising. With a whole bunch of some of these names that you've mentioned, actually, you started in advertising with. Hemuna, come on, talk to us about that. When were you in advertising? What were you doing there? How long did it take until you threw something at someone?
It was very quick. But it was very interesting. Look, I think it was around 94 or 95.
Yeah.
So
I 94, 95. So right after
freedom. Yeah, and yes. Yeah. Start to come out and land,
yeah.
You know, and then so...
Oh, what you guys haven't seen is that people are giving Malo a look after he just made that little statement. So you know what we're gonna do? I'm gonna leave you for a little bit, Let's keep on chatting. But at some point, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to play a track, right? We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to get deep into it. But tell me about this advertising story.
It's like 95. I think it's 95. So I'm at the Marketer Laboratory. It's a theater school. So I think advertising realizes that, you know what, we got to look like we're doing something. We got to look like everyone is just scared of Mandela.
Yeah.
So they think if he walks in and sees just white faces, he's going to make them build a school.
That's right.
10 schools. So they're like, we can't be building these schools. We got to have black people here. That's right. So he forgives us.
Oh, and then, here it is.
So they come to my school. They say, hey, man, guys, who wants to do advertising? We're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know, okay, we get it. Yeah. Like Cadbury's that. Okay, that song. Yes. Oh, okay, we
Peanuts,
get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
Topolas.
Topolas. So I said, okay, cool. So it was me and a couple of friends from my school, from the lab. So we signed up.
Yeah.
It was a little kind of competition that you go into.
Yeah.
And then, I went in. So Wing Wing was one of the...
I get out.
Yeah. So me and Wing Wing... he was from another school. I think he was from FUBA or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
We end up in Sentin. Nice offices. So we should be happy.
Yeah. Beautiful.
They even give us transport money.
Yeah.
You know that time money is real important. Black Diamond.
No.
Soccer 7's a charm though.
Yeah.
Dorfantin. If Ginba Ngonywana, maybe I'm a Metron. If
Ngugile
Gin.
Yeah.
So Mara, so you get cool.
Yeah.
So we happy. So Tolly lunch. Sierra Santin. But room and cool. So Spali tour. But so I liked it.
Yeah.
I think for like 3-4 months and people they liked my little stories.
Yes.
But it just seemed very slow for me.
Yeah.
At the time. It seemed there was just too much time spent inside the office.
Yes.
And too much time changing things again and again and again and again.
Well, look, I'll let you know something.
Yeah.
Not much has changed, my friend. We are changing and reviewing. and I understand how that could have been something that makes you go, hey, fuck off, man.
He's in Cortina.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But so here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to, we have to pay bills, you know. Because that's what happens, you know, in the land of commercial.
I understand.
So what needs to happen is that I'm gonna play an ad, and then we're gonna come back straight up. I'm not gonna play a track because I don't want us to waste time. There's a lot for us to get into. I'm gonna play a track, play an ad, and when we come back, we're gonna talk more about you and advertising. It's your man, G-Man, the Ad Man. Let's get in.
CliffCentral.com.
Last year, the CEO Sleepout was the biggest fundraising event in South Africa. This year, as a proud digital media partner for the Sympathy Sleepout, Cliff Central is challenging you to rally your colleagues in a company sleepout at your offices in support of the homeless and to raise money for education. It costs only 800 Rand to register. Visit cliffcentral.com for more info.
Attention all young leaders. Ever wondered how to go from where you are to where you want to be? It's time to take charge of your future. The Unplugged and In Charge radio show is hosting the second annual Young Leaders Seminar. It's a seminar that's relevant to the youth, original, fun, creative, and so not old-fashioned. The Young Leaders Seminar looks to bring together some of the freshest game changers and inspirational celebrity guests. Join us on the 22nd of July at 6 p.m. at the Museion Theatre of University of Pretoria. The power lineup includes Gareth Cliff, Thubim Boya, the host of the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, and a few surprise celebrity guests. Get your ticket at CompuTicket for 100 Rand and get trending on hashtag YLS2016. The Young Leaders Seminar, brought to you by Unplugged and In Charge NPO, in association with CliffCentral.com. Because we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Cliff Central
Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. 1, 2, bring it to the phone. Snoop Doggy. It's your man, G-Man, the Ad Man, and we're back. I just thought I'd change it up a little bit. With a little Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre in the background. Because, like I said, guys, Dimasani gets a bit hectic, so I'm just trying to change it up a little bit. Maybe try to slow him down. Maybe it's all that triumph in the background that made him like, you know, all Wu-Tang on us. Let's get back into it, Joe. Tell me about when you were about to tell me how You're about to tell me how you were, how you eventually said, I'm done with advertising, you're fog off.
No, being a shishi enough for me. You know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting enough satisfaction.
Right.
Immediate satisfaction.
Right.
You know, it was delayed.
Yeah.
Delayed satisfaction.
So who were the guys that you said you were in class with?
The guy I remember very well.
Yeah, Uwing Wing.
Uyang.
Yeah. You guys thought I forgot about the horn, didn't you? I didn't forget about the horn. I told you guys, Tiwa Tash is gone on radio, guys. This horn is mine for now. Anyway, you're still with your man, G-Man the Ad Man, and I'm still chilling with Tumsanu Pagati, Malo 8 to most of you. Give us a call. Hit me up. Give us a call on 0861-555-189 or on Twitter at Cliff Central, on Facebook, Cliff Central, on WeChat, Cliff Central as well. Or you can hit me up straight at Blaxem, that's at BLAXEM on Cliff Central. So how then did you find yourself? How did you make the call, right? That commercials are going to be where you kind of spend your time in between, you know, making all that. Because I mean, you speak about how advertising felt like, you know, satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, how did you reconcile that in Ngonenaguti? You know, I can be able to rock documentaries on one side and short films and whatever, and still be able to make time for advertising. Was advertising always a thing for you?
No, look, it was an opportunity, of course, when we got the call to FCB when it was in Sandton. It was, and at that time, you know, studying drama, anything to do with story was an opportunity.
Sure.
So that's why I responded.
You mean, talking about directing commercials, as opposed to just directing short stories, when you decided that you also want to direct commercials as well.
Yeah. No, look, for me, it was a business thing. Hey?
Right.
So it was a business thing.
Yeah.
It was not passion.
Yeah.
I found a bit of it half the way through it.
Well, your passion was like a byproduct.
Yeah, of Inyogu. You can do things.
This is true. That's dope. That's fantastic. Yeah. So which production houses did you work with? I mean, I remember you.
It was a very tough journey when I did decide to actually formally do commercials.
Yeah.
You know, the first company that actually approached me was called Garrett.
Okay.
Yeah, they were in Rosebank. They were there. And I flew affiliated to a company in London.
Right.
And John Carney, funny enough, was a partner.
Oh, really?
And John Carney did a commercial, people don't realize. He did one commercial for Cadbury's.
Oh, snap.
Some old commercial he did.
Yeah.
So he got me into the company. And in this, look, basically the commercial world wasn't ready for a black director.
Okay.
He was the only guy who had, up until then, done an ad.
That's amazing.
I think even Tebogo hadn't even done an ad by then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane. That must have been either a very long time ago or the game hasn't been changed, like, you know, for a while.
No, it is long. It's just, it's like literally, if it's not 2000, it's just around about 99. Or 2001. It's very early.
But that's recent. I mean, we talk about... But actually also, let's remember, when we say 2000, we're talking about 16 years ago.
Yeah, it's not...
You know what I mean? Let's not forget that 2000
feels
years ago.
Like it's just around the corner, but actually isn't.
Yeah.
You know? It's going to be 20 years just now.
That's insane.
Yeah. So... But they literally were not ready.
Yeah.
Even then, what was amazing then, we had that thing called retainer. So I liked it.
Yes.
So you just got...
It's a lot.
Yeah. I just like that.
But isn't that the model as well?
No, it's changed.
For the guys who don't know... Oh, is it?
No. You get a loan account now.
Oh, so that's different. So that's different.
A retainer is, you don't pay it back.
Yeah. Oh,
we're taking a risk with you.
Yeah.
So how much did we give you? 8,000, 6,000 a month.
Yeah.
While we try, we believe in you.
Yeah. While we try to build you.
Yeah. A loan account is, what are your expenses? 30,000, you say. Then, once you get a job, once you give me a job, I pay back that money first.
That's why directors
are stuck in some companies.
Hey, I'm a million.
Jelly Secret.
That is insane.
No, it's hectic. If you don't watch that thing out, you know, I just paid it myself out of some debt suit.
Is it?
Since I'm living on 1,000 yen.
Well, expenses. And it was a long time between jobs. And damn it, that must put you in a very weird space because, you know, as you said, the industry takes a long time to get accustomed to the idea of a black director.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you're on this loan account.
Yeah.
So now getting jobs is hard as fuck as it is.
You have to go do Soul City.
Yo. But shout out to Soul City, I mean. Dr. Padlender. That's insane. So then while you're on that stuff, as in, or you're at the production house and they give you a loan, can you still go out and find jobs on your own that they don't know about?
Not commercial jobs, no. Oh. They own you then. No, you're the guy. They own you. No, you know, and white people are very clear with that issue.
Yeah.
They're not emotional like us who think we're sunk out here. No, no. Way too, and it's like cholera. And it's not even like they say it straight. And it's cool. So you know it.
Yeah.
And if they catch you, because they make you feel like you've broken the biggest rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but anyway.
Yes. I told you guys it's gonna get lit. I told you guys Malo's gonna tear this motherfucker up. Anyway, so that's dope. But now tell me, do you think then that's changing? I mean, the way young directors are viewing the idea of getting affiliated to bigger production houses, do you think that's changing? Do you think guys are making calls to do stuff for themselves?
Look, there's still no real black production company in the commercial that I know about.
Wow.
There isn't.
Right, because all of them are affiliated to Velocity. Yeah,
so there isn't like a freestand, and that for me is problematic in many ways, because the real business of the business is in the production company. Yes, there's risks involved. Whoever owns it needs to know the risks because they have to put...
So why haven't you done it then? I mean, sometimes. Are you saying you're suffering from that comfort?
I'm breaking myself out. It is there.
Yeah.
It's a real thing, because also
of seeing Abangamla when you get to work.
The whole infrastructure, the idea that you walk in, there's an infrastructure.
Yes.
There's a track record. As you know, sometimes it's good, but it's also dangerous, because it kills your own hunger.
Beyond it's a ceiling of some kind.
Yeah.
That's insane.
The comfort zone, so it's very dangerous.
But I mean, I'm sure you've had this conversation with other directors as well, and other people who are in production about the need for this production for this new kind of production house.
Yeah.
So why is it you think it hasn't happened?
It's very simple. It's very simple. The thing is, if we look at any industry, if you watch SABC on Encore, you look at the white production companies that were doing dramas and fucking up.
Yeah.
And given a chance to fuck up again and again. Technically, narratively, they were given that. You know, so basically, why an agency or a client would think twice about giving a black production company a job?
Yeah,
is because they think they'll lose the money or they'll get a sub. And I think part of building an industry is, look, I would never get a job and wanna fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But
no one does.
Yeah, no one. But even if something were to go wrong, this country owes it. This business owes it to this country and its black people to lose a bit of money on us.
Yeah, lose a bit of money on us.
Let's fuck up a little bit. Let's get there and fuck up and Omo gets pissed off.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we bought enough of that shit anyway. Motherfuckers.
But you know what? You raise a really valid point, because do you think then that also informs why there aren't... Well, I mean, the tide is changing a little bit now with smaller black agencies coming up. Why are you saying that's why there aren't huge behemoths of agencies like another Herd Boys? Yeah. Is it because, you know, nobody is allowing those guys?
We must bring taxi rank mentality. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
See, this is our route.
But
No, but Rugusa, really, I can't.
Yeah, there's no other way to phrase it.
You can't intellectualize the idea of where you have a majority of people that are the customers.
Yeah.
You're always talking to them because they're your major customer.
Right.
As a client. And as a client, look, basically, imagine if we decided one day to go and knock at a door for big company and said, look, we spend this much money on your company.
Yeah.
But none of it comes back to us.
It's true.
Yes, you take a girl, cool child, and then some pads and some shoes. That's not real. That's not enough.
The reality of it is not there.
Yeah, bring real money back to us.
That's true.
And that for me, and it has to start with brands.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Marketing directors must not be scared. Those ladies that are marketing directors, they must not be scared. Those guys are by Tunyan.
Yeah.
They must, and it's good, really. Things have to change.
This is true. Yeah.
So they mustn't be scared to actually lose some cash
on the learning process. School fees, so to speak.
Have to, because it's only gonna, my brother, it's only gonna change that way.
So it can't
be academic.
But I mean, do you also agree then that, I mean, my point, I mean, as you say that, I think you know, the school fees or the learning is going to be completely different in this case, because, you know, there is grounding now. You know, some of us have had the experience of having worked inside those big white agencies and white production houses, that actually the foundation has been laid where you know that the chances of you actually losing money are minimal to none.
You don't want to even do it anyway.
Yeah. But because of that, I agree. I mean, you and I once had an encounter. We might not necessarily have to go into specifics, but you and I had an encounter where I think we experienced that on a very big level, where actually it just came to you know. So this behavior that you see, that you went, I've never seen that ever happen when I was, you know, under the umbrella of super whiteness. You know, and now it's happening here. Do you see a change in that? We're gonna have to do
the thing is, change only happens.
We're gonna take a revolution. Are we gonna have to
the thing is, change happens when you start EFF. I'm just saying change happens when a guy starts a company. When Given Mukhari starts what it does.
Yes.
Change happens when Cliff starts Cliff Central.
That's what's up.
So it's real things. You know what I mean? So, and I think this industry won't change nicely by itself.
Yeah.
It has to be forced.
And you think that's what we're doing? We're doing the kiddie love approach.
How many years is this an apartheid? Situated into slow motion.
Yeah, exactly. And it gets slow motion into a ritual.
Yeah, no,
because it's not moving fast enough.
But the problem is, what I always say is, like, the thing is, your average black person is taken care of directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
As a creative or as a CEO.
Yes.
Directly or indirectly is taking care of, like, let's say 30 people.
That's right.
So now we're giving business to people who, look, some of them aren't well off, but they'll always, even my friends.
Yeah.
The Jewish granny left a flat on Orange Grove.
Yes.
So as much as
something. Something
323.
It's bad.
Those things matter.
Yeah.
You know, there's that little art piece.
Yeah.
That they left that they can sell. So the thing is,
it should be simple.
We should be getting more business because we got more people to be taken care of.
This is true.
So we don't have to be having our own courses haven. No, really.
No, you're right. No, you're absolutely
and
right.
So for me,
I agree with you.
So for me, I think that's what needs to happen. It's like you need the, and the thing is, and another problem is, like, the idea of black failures is South Africa.
Yeah.
They love South Africa. It's South Africa's other drug. They're always looking out for it.
For black failures.
Yeah. So, like, you hear a story with Benza and number one man, Gupi Mother Russia, and then one story.
Yeah.
And then
the publicity on that.
Ah, and that's my pega with tax, my pega earlier. Hey, Benza and Lama
Chita.
Or whatever. I'm just saying whatever.
No, I hear you.
So there's this fear. I'm not saying everyone is as good as their last job, but Jesus, man, it can't be that last job becomes your last job.
Boom. It can't be that last job, that it becomes your absolute last job. That makes absolute sense to me.
Yeah.
Wow. So now, I mean, do you have any guys under you that you are helping, that you're trying to bring up in the game?
Yeah.
I mean, I also know you're a very busy guy. You make references to Jama Taxi because it's a real thing in your life. You bring this attitude Jama Taxi la on this show, you know, because which I appreciate a lot, because, you know, to your point, you know, there's a lot of these big issues that we handle with kiddie gloves, and because of that, because we're being politically correct about them, and because we're being so nice about it, our change is not actually going to happen because we are being too soft about it.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it a lot. But let's get back to the point.
Cool.
Are there any young folks that you bring up in the game?
Yeah.
Are there any cats that you think we should be looking out for that are coming up in the game?
Look, I have been working with directors for some time. Like a guy called Thabo Kambole, for example.
Okay.
One young filmmaker that I've been working with on long form specifically. And the idea is to try to break him into commercials.
That's what's up.
You know, that seems. And another guy called Sparara.
Okay.
Know,
I think I like him already.
Sparara.
Yeah, anybody calls Sparara. I'm going to enjoy that guy.
So I have young directors that I'm working with that I'm hoping to break into the industry.
Yeah.
Because another thing, because I think this thing of like the fact that we almost get to the point of having our voice with one ad or that ad,
but
it never kind of continues and builds to another level. It's actually also directors and it's also agencies.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we should be like Brazil. Should be like Mexico.
Should be shooting the lights out all the time.
Yeah. And the fact that we in the continent and we have the facilities we have,
yeah,
and the companies we have, we should be doing amazing work.
I agree completely. You know it's like, I like that example a lot. It's like tantra, you know. It's exactly like that, because it feels like as soon as you're about to hit that climax, as soon as you're almost there, then they pull you back. you know, because then you're going to go again now, you know. And it feels like we go through these cycles of social or corporate tantra, where it's like we kind of go and go and go, and as soon as you're about to hit the peak, there's one ad, there'll be one movement, and you kind of go, yes, we're about to do it, and then somebody pulls you back, you're getting proverbial corporate blue balls now. You know what I mean? So wow, man. I think that's insane stuff. But do you think that it's gonna take coming up with a new model? Because like you're saying, I mean, now you're taking it under these kids, they're gonna get to learn from you, you know, and you have all the learnings that you have from where you've been before. Do you think it's gonna take changing the model or breaking the model in order for us to actually, you know, get ahead?
Yeah, I think so. I think more and more the client shouldn't be too far from the actual creators,
right?
You know, the person who desperately needs to get out there should not be meeting a big fence,
yes,
and sign in all the time.
Yes,
sometimes there has to be forums or ways where, not, I'm not saying you don't need the organized agency,
right?
You need it,
right.
But I just think that sometimes that the hindrance is the fact that there's so many gatekeepers.
Right.
And gatekeepers doing their job and getting paid. Yeah. But that's why there'll always be little change. You'll always be met by good. No, there's systems, you know.
Yeah, systems in place.
There's systems in place. Yeah. You must wait for processes. So just the ANC's got processes. White business culture's got processes as well. They're just sexier.
Yeah.
They're in tashas.
Yeah,
they're
exactly. Processes. The processes are in tashas.
They're sexier.
And they're on chase.
They're on chase. But they are processes. And I think the change will happen when people that need to be out there in a particular way meet the talent that can get them there, facilitated by a much smaller gate. Smaller gate.
Yeah.
That day you can open less cars late.
Actually not shutting anyone out. No, be a champega food.
Champega key. Because you're not really stopping anything. You know that.
Exactly.
So you just leave it. So we need that kind of gate. Not this big one. Because I think the big one also stops. I don't think we have to look at this industry as an industry that can create a lot of jobs.
That's right.
And I think the more there's production companies that are black, not black because black is black.
Yes.
Just because when you give a person that job, that will benefit.
Yeah.
So we
but also because of the importance of that very first thing you mentioned earlier, of the fact that we can start hearing more stories, different types of stories, and they happen to also be fulfilling the mandate of being able to feed 20-30 people.
Because that's very important, eh?
Exactly.
Because we're gonna sink in this place if we don't check shit out, eh?
Yeah, that's
on
right.
The job shit. That you know, every time we're simping champagne, whatever.
Yeah.
And so issues of jobs and poverty
are important.
Should not be far from us all the time. As much as we, our own individual drive and wanting to progress is important.
Yeah.
But our consciousness about where we live.
That's insane.
Because you would never be able to answer if it to be asked once the shit has happened.
Yeah. We're not at that point.
Neliko market. How many markets do you guys go to? Lari rather the market is a short pen and colorful techies. And that's one of our fail. All funky types.
No.
I'm just saying, when we are funky there,
that
issue of poverty and joblessness it should not be far. I'm just saying, in a week, give it 2 hours, whether through Google or Googling it.
Yeah.
Just know some numbers. Know some realities.
Yeah.
Know some efforts, and then move on.
And then move on.
But at least, just because it's our fucking country, guys.
This is also true.
So we gotta make this motherfucker work. That's gotta be our attitude. We gotta make this motherfucker work. With or without an ANC government, whatever fucking government. It's our shit.
We have to make
beyond
this shit work.
Beyond even those motherfuckers.
That is profound as fuck. I just got a message now on Twitter from Zuzi Sioka at I Am Zuno. She says, the convo between Black Sim and Dumisani is a laugh a minute, but raises some really important points. We're not yet Uhuru. And I guess that just sums it up, man. That sums up everything you just said right now. That, you know, fine. Also, you know, some of us have made some steps in the right direction, but we've made personal steps and we've made really small steps in the right direction. And we should never, ever, ever forget that there's a bigger conversation to be had. That is so deep.
And it could make us, you know, things. If you look at countries like South Korea,
yeah,
and countries like in Southeast Asia,
yeah,
that then went out of their poverty when they did,
yes,
in around the 70s, 80s. What they were, they embraced what they were.
Right.
They embraced their complexities.
Right.
They decided they want to build Kia. They decided they want to build Samsung. But they didn't come out of like three guys in a studio or in an amazing office park.
Yeah.
It was a nation deciding, we're going to be fucked if we don't move forward and move forward quickly. And all in the same way and deciding the same way and being aware of the issues that affect us. You know, the thing is, we can't live in silos because silos don't last.
I don't think I could have put it. I don't think anybody could have put it any better. I think that sums it up entirely. Mm. Because yeah, you know, it's amazing. We live these existences of angzobakren, you know. Whereas the picture is slightly bigger, ever so slightly. It's about 50 million people bigger. That's insane. Wow.
And can make even our stories better.
That's also true. That's true.
I must tell, honestly, like for me, I haven't actually interacted with the real. For the last 2-3 years,
yeah,
I haven't interacted with the real tone that's out there in our country, just because of the distance, because of work and choice,
yes,
lifestyle,
yes, yes,
and class.
And do you think that tone has changed since the last time that you spoke to it?
It's changed. In fact, it keeps changing. And and like, you know, with language, when we do scripts, like the fact that the language keeps changing, like that, you know, my in people only got it now.
Yeah,
you know, my in was already. I already heard it 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, my anything is loaded.
Completely.
It's a loaded social statement.
Yeah. School us a little bit, son. School us a little bit.
No, the thing is, like, so check it. So basically, I got a theory. Not a theory. It's not okay. I know it in my hood. Basically, in my hood, Bugnabo, there was a calf team.
Yeah.
I had two.
Yes. That's a husky.
Yeah.
That's husky. Camp. Yeah. For you millennials, this calf team is a husky.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah? Thank you. Then the guys decided in the taxi industry, no, they only want proper kumbis, even for the local rides.
Right.
So then there were in my hood. So there were a lot of guys suddenly who were who lost business.
Yes.
So those guys, when they lost business, they either went to get kumbis some used it to ferry school kids.
Yeah.
So a lot of those guys then ended up not having anything to do.
Pretoria, stand up, sir.
Yeah, we love you for your jazz, man.
Pretoria, stand up. Yeah.
So you know, my in it was it's a statement where I'm not even looking for a job from you.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for even money from you.
Anything.
In fact, give me that shirt, man. It's that thing that happened with crack in America.
Yes,
yeah. When like, come anything, my brother, man.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's when the thing has eaten everything about what you are.
Yeah. And that you want anything
and
right now.
And your agency and your own agency.
That's insane.
And your own physical, because you need a physical ability.
Yeah.
And a special ability to stand up and even dance in the street.
Yeah.
And you need that shit.
To go to the market.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Once again, guys, I keep telling y'all, G-Man the Ad, man, we stay educating y'all. And once again, like I say every week, guys, the hour flies by. We're out of time. I don't know where the time went. I didn't even play the song. I didn't play a second song. We just kept talking and we're out of time. But, you know, I think some important conversations have been had today. More of these conversations are going to be happening. And once again, the powers that be are probably listening to me, as I say every single week, that I probably need a bit more time on this show. But that'll happen. Everything in its time. They do know. But I think I need you to take some of the stuff that was spoken about here today, put that in your pipe and smoke it, because there's some important things that we spoke about that need our urgency in order for us to kind of take some steps in the right direction. It's flown by. I want to say that, you know, get the podcast, and you should get the podcast. I want to say that we didn't swear too much, so you can play it for your moms. It just depends what kind of relationship you have with your moms. You can play this one for your moms, though, because there's some important things that I think she'll be proud to know that we are addressing, and that you are on top of addressing as well. It's your man, G-Man the Ad-Man, and it's been another amazing week of advertising. It's been a great hangout with my boy Dumisani Phakathi, Mr. Malo 8, as some of you might know him. Shots were fired. I hope those who were in the line of fire ducked, please, because some really hard shots were fired. But I also know that some education was had out here today. And any final words, Dumisani, before we wrap this up?
Let's let's make this motherfucker work, because we have no other motherfucker beside this motherfucker.
Boom. And that's it. And like I say all the time, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having tequila. Thank you so much, and let's see you again next week. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Voila.
This is CliffCentral.com.